calcium phosphate goes down and the calcium carbonate goes ahead. Exactly that what we tried to elaborate all the time. You see, the phosphor is the bearer of the light, and that is just the light which is diminishing, and it dwindles during the life, and the calcium, the carbonate is more and more. Of course, that is a ratio between them, not the absolute. It is a ratio. And you can see all this as an expression of two different types, how the calcium is correlated. It more to the cosmos, more to the earth. And even you can find that in the formation of the bones, you can find the same, that you find more where you have the stretched bones or this, or you have at the end of the bones this. That is more the calcium, the carbonate, and here you have the phosphate. So all over, when you once have the key, you can understand all the other things and how that is working and all this. Now, that is the calcium, and you see the way on Earth. The way starts in the heaven. It starts from the environment. It does not start from the first cell. The first cell is only the material, as it has been found, that it is the material, just the substance, that other forces can be accepted. And that's we were working all the time. And not now you can see, even in the whole pregnancy, how that starts. The first, and of course, how the ego, that means what means the spirit of the human being, how that enters the organism, that is just, you cannot only observe it, because what you observe are the results. The working of the astral body you can see only as a result of the etheric body too, of course. And therefore, when you ask Rudolf Steiner, who was able to perceive this and to observe this and see how that works, he gave concrete some hints how this is working. And of course, that is very delicate, this problem. But anyway, I should like to give you a hint just to understand how that is. And the amazing is that even not just the conception is the decisive. It goes ahead before the conception. The conception happens, as you see, not just immediately after the intercourse. It happens that the sperms go ahead and the fertilization happens in the fallopian tube. And that is a matter of a couple of hours. But the first is that the individuality has a certain attraction to that what happens on Earth. Or as he describes it in other words, they see the astral flame of the parents. And that attracts them or just influences them to feel attracted from these parents. That is one. And then the first, what happens, what comes down, therefore Rudolf Steiner used a specific term, which, as far as I know, never in other conditions he used, Geistkeim. Geistkeim. When we translate it, it is not the same, the germ of spirit, it's... Yeah, of course you can translate everything, but offer me another translation. What would you say?
Spirit germ, I would say.
No, spirit germ, but yeah. Even the germ is Keim, is in German the meaning is more. It's not so limited, like germ. So that does not mean that the spirit is just beginning. No, of course it's existing. The spirit is existing. But just to see how he is small like a seed, that is what is meant in this word Geistkeim. And this Geistkeim comes from the cosmos. It approaches the earth, and when it feels attracted to this person, going back from the cosmos through all the region of the planets, and now works on this heap of cell in quotation marks, and works since about, he describes it from the 17th to 20th day about, starts this working on the cells. That means very early. Or when you remember what was the situation, when indeed there starts the growing. You remember that the first days the egg cell was not growing in the weight. There was a dividing of the cells, but not a growing. And after about 17, 20 days, this Geistkeim works, of course, from outside, on this growing cells. And it is influencing it. And after this, that is the very first beginning. And after this, he describes like the etheric body or etheric forces are working, of course, from outside, working on this germ, on the embryo. And after the etheric body, and that you could see, the embryonal disc, what is it? That is a plate like a sheet. It is just surface. And later, and he describes about around the 7th month of the pregnancy, there indeed the astral body enters to the fetus. And that does not mean that it would not work before. Of course it's working before, but it enters. And around the 7th month of pregnancy. And then you see how indeed the organs, which are made by these invaginations, which are directly specialized, or all this, that happens around this time. And the ego enters just after the birth with the first breathing. You see how step by step it is. But that does not mean in this way as we would think, aha, when the last is the ego, before comes the astral body, so the first would be the physical. No, the first is the Geistkeim. The Geistkeim which is working, which is influenced, directing all this. It is directing. And it is working from outside, not from inside. But the combination, how it is, how deeply it is working, that is another question. And that is, I tried to repeat the words of Rudolf Steiner, that you can see how step by step that happens. And that is a more or less a solution of this problem we are confronted with in our time, when we see, yeah, okay, the ego enters this body, and then the life starts. Then maybe some scientific researcher could accept it. But he would immediately have objections. But that is a matter what he meets. And you have this dream of the heredity, and so how the genes come together, that makes whether this or this condition is existing. You cannot influence it. And that is not true. When you see how the Geistkeim is working on this before something happens physically, when the astral flame which is working between the parents is this what attracts the spirit of this individuality. This is working just before the conception. So and from outside. And there you see what it means that we have a new concept of what is heredity. We say today in the scientific field, that is a matter which is just a coincidence, whether it comes this or that, and that is mixed up, and this you have to accept. We cannot do anything. When you know we are working from outside, then we can influence even this, what is fixed. And the other days I spoke about the problem that it must be fixed in a certain way, that just the stream goes ahead, and from a cat only you can expect a cat, and from a dog only a dog, and from a human shape only a human shape. That must be fixed. But inside this you have a lot of possibilities. And of course the people are differentiated, but they offer all that what they have, the children or the child. And it is up to the child, not up to the parents, to make a selection between all this what is offered. So there is no determination that you have to accept it, or even what you have today, to blame the parents. Aha, you have this disease and that is why I have it too. Children do that today because they are educated in this way. It is just the other way around. They just were attracted by these parents because they had this situation which they needed. It is just the same thing which I once quoted in a discussion, in a scientific discussion. It is the same as if we would see, maybe there would be a very intelligent being coming from Mars or somewhere and would look on the earth and would see, how can that happen? For instance, there are trains. The trains move from this station A to B. Here is another station. They move to C and so on and so on. And then they see when sometimes there are the people, they are going here, and the more there comes the time, the faster they run, enter this, and then some of them leave on B, some of them leave on C, some of D, and some leave of E. And now is the question, what causes that the one people leaves at B, the other at C, and the other at D? How can that be? They all enter at A. But why does the one leave at B? So you can make a research, a very exact research. You check the people exactly. And finally, you see, aha, everybody has in his pocket a ticket. And in this ticket, you find the destination, A, B, and C. And he who has B leaves on B, the other on C, and so on. Now you see who makes the determination that makes the ticket. They can't help. If they get a ticket with B, then they have to leave at B. When they get a ticket at E, they have to leave at E. So that's determination. Look, and that is just, this example shows you the importance of the genes. And they say you just, this are, the genes are tickets, nothing else. The ticket does not give you a determination. No, before you get the ticket, you choose the ticket. You buy the ticket. And that's why you have this, why you are determined by the ticket. That means before you get the genes in this combination, you make the selection for this. So, in a certain way, even it is right. It gives a certain determination. But you are not exposed to the determination. You make the determination. And that is the problem of an understanding of heredity, which we have today, and which makes so many problems for the people today. Why just I, my brother, has this capacity and I not? So my parents are to be blamed. You can hear this today. And that is just the nonsense. They selected before the conception. And even during the conception, it is a certain selection to use this or that and to work it. So it is not completely wrong to say there is a determination. When you got it, then you are determined. But it is up to you which that determination you choose.
I'm a little bit unclear about this. All of the potentials of the parents are then brought into the embryo, and it's up to the ego to determine which one of those potentials
That's right.
is going to accept or reject.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. And now you can see how poor that is what we can receive. What does it say? That says whether we have a long nose, a short nose, whether we have dark hairs, blonde hairs, whether they are curled or straight or all this. And just this, what makes the human being, the spirit, is not concerned of all this that we know today. There are only very, very few exceptions. Of course, that is you cannot make it in a scheme. But generally, you can say there are two capacities which are bound to spiritual capacities, which are bounded to the heredity. And that is the mathematics and the music. And this you find. You have families where all people are musicians. Bach, typical example. Bach. All his sons were musicians too, and all this, and Haydn, and Mozart, and all this, they were, and that was in the family. And mathematics. The famous example is the Swiss family Bernoulli. That was all the family. They were gifted in mathematics.
200 years.
Yeah. But that's all. When you go even to poetry, nothing of any heredity. Son of Goethe, not one poem, nothing. The son of Schiller, not one poem, nothing. The father of both of them, nothing. You see, that has nothing to do with heredity. Painters, that is very, very few exceptions. Very few exceptions. In generally, well? Yeah, Raphael. And some, that is just on the borderline. You see, it is. One must be careful not to make a scheme of this. But you see, or when you want to have it, it is more expressed in musicians, mathematics, then comes painting, then comes sculpturing, and then poetry. Just in poetry, it is absolutely independent of heredity, and so on and so on.
What about you,
Inmit? Make a new study about it. Yeah. So. Yeah, double blind. Controlled clinical trial, yeah. So, you see, and just that makes it. And even if music is in heredity or the gift of music, what does it say? That Mozart and Bach just chose a family where they have the occasion to produce this. And even then you can see how that works. Study that in the history. It's extremely, there is a stream and they come together. And there they have the occasion for an incarnation. Study that in Bach. how that comes together, these dreams. And that was just the ideal situation that a man was born with this capacity. So, even if it isn't the heredity, that does not say that it is completely a determination, because it is chosen, it is anticipated from the individuality before. So, that is the way how that works and how one can understand all of this. On the other hand, you remember we had this sign that was the way of heredity in the world, and the individuality, the Geist came, is incarnating in one individuality and leaving it again. So, even this dream is protected and is guided by a certain guidance of the spiritual world. And this the people felt in former times. And when you see old paintings, when just the Annunciation for Maria, there is always an angel who says her, you will be pregnant, and so this angel was not just an angel, it was just a specific angel. It was Gabriel. And since ever, the people knew Gabriel has to do with the woman and this heredity. That is the spirit which protects this stream on earth. Because this stream is just not a physical stream, because physical is that's very poor what goes from the mother to the child or from the father to the child. It is an etheric stream. And this stream in the etheric world is protected by Gabriel. You can see that, and the people felt it, and by our modern spiritual science, we can even know that Gabriel is a protector of the life on earth. And that is why it belongs to this time, the Gabriel time. Any pregnancy is on this realm. And I've been asked, what can the mother do? Just when a pregnant mother, or to prepare for the child, to be in connection with his spirit, that brings the spiritual forces in the right way on earth. That is why Gabriel always is in the picture with a lily in the hand. What is a lily? When you the lily, look, always is a symbol of the cosmos, not of the earth, of the cosmos. And when you cut the flower, you find inside of a lily, you find just this shape. That we saw, that is cosmic forces. The lilies are correlated to the six. And this you can see, so the six. Six means light forces, cosmic forces, and so on. And this is the light which goes through this stream, through the etheric stream. And we have to separate it completely from the other light, which is the spiritual light, which is Zoe. You see, this Zoe, that is the higher light, that is the spirit, that is the Geistkeim. That comes and comes in connection with the lower life, with the bios, with this life. So, and this life, this protection, this life on earth, that is directed, or it's guided by the forces of Gabriel. On now you can understand all this, what is you find in the medieval time, or even in the Bible, you can find it, always the differentiation of the archangels, how they are, and how they work, and how the different tasks are. That's the reality. That's not just what one has to believe on it or so. No, you can see it, how that works. Now, let's see how this works. this incarnation, which I was mentioning, that the Geistkeim is preparing it just long before the conception. Then it is working about on the 17th day inside, and then comes the etheric body, the astral body, and finally the ego enters. And that means now we are on the birth. And the birth is a very difficult problem for a child. You know, the birth is full of danger. And in former time, many women did die during the birth. When they gave or tried to give life to the child, they died. Why is it so dangerous? Now, to come on earth is indeed an adventure. As long as you are in the uterus, you are protected and the life is fine and so. But the trouble starts when you come on earth. And that is not only the trouble for the mother, it is a trouble for the child. This entering the world, that is a challenge. And therefore you need a lot of energy. You need a lot of forces. And what type of forces do you need to enter the world? As a human being, you need a lot of spiritual forces, but not just spiritual forces. Like these, like Gabriel, that's spiritual forces, six. With them you cannot enter the world. You need a force which is just correlated to the earth and is even full of bearer of light. And that is the iron. And that is iron. Iron you need, I mentioned it a couple of times, for incarnation. That means to come on earth in the right way, but not to forget the spirit on earth. That is why iron is a bearer of light. And completely other type of light than magnesium, than phosphor or silica. This, you see, even if we speak on light, it is poor just only say it is light. You must make the differentiation. That makes the modern step. And not even to say energy. Everything is energy, okay? But to make the differentiation. Which type of light? Now, study this. And it's a pity that I cannot do that here, but I think you know that. Ignite a magnesium. And what happens? A lot of light comes out. And you hear nothing. It's absolutely quiet. Like in the plants, nothing happens. There are no sounds. The plants make no sounds. But when you have iron and you try to make light from iron, that's possible. How can you do that? No, by heat, you do not. You must ignite it in a very sophisticated way, since eldest times the people knew that. You have to cut it in this, or to beat on the iron, or to take a stone and beat with iron on it. That's what you have in the in a lighter. You have this. That contains iron and cerium. But when you do that, a very little bit of iron is scratched away. And in this part, you must do it very fast. When you make it slowly, nothing happens. You must do it fast. That means, on a very, very small point, you have an extremely high temperature. These are over 2,000 degrees. But, of course, on a very, very small part. And that scratches away, ignites the light, and that makes it sparkling. So you need a lot of activity, which for the magnesium is not necessary. You need activity to deliver the light. And that is the being of iron. The iron is always a challenge for an own activity. And to come on earth requires a lot of own activity. That's a matter of the child. The child comes on earth not because the mother has this or that hormone or so, then the birth happens. No, that makes the child when the birth starts. Of course, you can do that, but it goes via the oxytocin and all this, that's right. But that starts from the child, not from the mother. The child starts the birth. That is why Aristoteles, how do you say Aristotle? He said, how is the child coming out of the mother? Because it stretched, the child stretched the legs, and so it comes out. You see, the basic thought is right. The explanation is wrong. But the basic thought is right. The activity comes from the child for the birth, not from the mother. And now, the child, but what he said is, of course, it comes not out because it stretches the legs. That is nonsense. The explanation is nonsense. The basic thought is right. And so, it starts. The child influences the mother. The mother produces the hormones. It makes the contraction of the uterus and so on and so on. This is the way how that happens. And now you can see for this task, the child needs a lot of forces to come on earth, to bring the light of the spirit on earth. And that's iron. And now you can see when you measure the iron in the newborns, in the adults, in the embryos, you see an amazing fact. You see the following, which we can make short this problem. In the very first beginning, it's not known, or I don't have the data. Maybe it has been checked, I don't know. Somewhere it starts, and then it goes up until to the birth. And it goes ahead and goes ahead, all with the iron. And now you have the birth, and what happens after the birth? Immediately, with the first breathing, the iron drops down. Immediately, that's a matter of minutes even, or of hours. So, you have a peak of iron during the birth. Later, when you are very strong and have a lot of iron, you never come to such a peak of iron. That's, of course, that's a fact. You can find it in all the books, and maybe you know that. But the problem is always the explanation. Why does the newborn, or during the birth, has such a peak of iron?
Are you talking about the serum iron concentration?
No, I just say iron hemoglobin. Hemoglobin iron.
Not ferritin.
No, it is just hemoglobin. I don't have the value, the data for serum iron, but it may be that it is the same. Or a little bit changed, because you know what happens after the birth? Many erythrocytes are broken down, and of course then you have a higher peak in the of iron in the serum. And that this iron, when the erythrocytes are broken, this breaking down of the iron makes the jaundice of the newborn. Because that is the other part of the iron, that is the bilirubin, which is the second half of the hemoglobin. And that makes the jaundice. And because the iron, the hemoglobin is broken down. Now, we say, why is it broken down? That's right, because the child doesn't need it anymore. So, obviously, the child did need it before the birth. And the modern explanation, it's of course, that is always in the mechanical rearm. What do they say? Why has the child such a high level of iron in the blood?
To get more oxygen.
To get more oxygen. Why does it need more oxygen?
Because it's a bit from the mother.
No. No, yeah, that's what I try to prepare. But this you will not find in the books.
Higher metabolic rate?
No, because they have not the separation of arterial and venous blood. You know, the embryo has a mixed blood. You remember this as a fact. They have this hole in the heart, the foramen ovale is open, and the ductus brutali is open, you say? You
use the arteriosus.
Ductus arteriosus, we call it ductus brutali. Ductus arteriosus is open in the heart, you have this hole, so you have a mixture of blood. And this mixture means that you cannot accept such a lot of oxygen as later. That's true, no doubt about it. But why does this child have a hole in the heart? Why does it have this ductus brutali, this arterio, what do you call it?
Ductus arteriosus.
Ductus arteriosus. Why? It is not necessary. You see that the child can live without this. Why does it have it before? What means oxidation? Can you remember what we found out when we were comparing plant, animal? Plant has reduction, animal oxidation. What is the being of oxygen? Where do you have oxygen on earth? Don't say in the air. What is the air?
Nitrogen.
And only 20% of the air is oxygen. Where do you have the biggest part of oxygen at all?
Water.
In any stone you have on earth. What are the stones? For instance, silica, SeO2. Or it is limestone, then it is CaCO3. Touch any earthy substance and you touch a compound of oxygen. What is oxygen? That is just earth. And you remember this differentiation which we found out? What is the earth? On the one side you can say the earth is a living organism. That's right, absolutely. But on the other side you can say what is the earth? Just the being of death. Dead substances. That is earth. Black substance. Prevent the substance from, protect them from light, that the light cannot penetrate the earth. That is earth, earthy substance. So, oxygen belongs to the earth. And everything what makes an oxidation means that change this into an earthy substance. Now you see why the child must be protected from oxygen. Aha. It must be protected from oxygen. Oxygen is a poison for a growing organism. Because it must grow. And what we saw growing, just that's an expression of the etherical world, must this a reduction. Of course. What is growing in the embryo should not be a plant. So you need oxidation too. But you must be very careful not to have too much oxidation. Otherwise, you kill this organism. What do? You transform it into a dead substance. Look, this one can... No. But because the people are only thinking as whether it makes a result, when you have a newborn and you expose it too much to oxygen, what happens?
Blindness.
Why blindness? How does it?
Aha.
You have cataract. Cataract, what means it? It's a dead substance. You kill it. You come exactly to the opposite what most people think. Ah, we need oxygen. It's so healthy. Oxygen, oxygen. Ah. What means indeed oxygen? That you kill the person or you kill the life by oxygen. And that is, of course, we need it when we are born. But before we are born, we must carefully avoid the oxygen. And that is why, we cannot completely avoid it. We need a little bit of oxygen. And that is exactly what the embryo needs. A little bit, not pure oxygen. And that is the reason why the child cannot have arterial blood. Arterial blood would kill it. And so that is just a very sophisticated thing, that this continues, or even when you say that this all this, that is mixed blood. It is not right. It is not a mixed blood. What means mixing? You have two things which you bring together. That's mixed blood. But the blood in the embryo is not mixed. Why not? What was on the beginning? The unit. So, what was the first? The venous or the arterial blood? Look, this is just the type of the questions which we do. And for there is no answer, because the question is wrong. Not one was the first. In the beginning was not arterial blood and not venous blood. It was a thing between them, but this what was between is not a mixture. And that this continues. What does it mean? In this way, as we started it, you remember, in the very first beginning was the unit, the chaos, the tohu wabohu. And from them, in this you can say, you have the arterial blood and the venous blood. So you can see what was the first. A unit, and this unit continues. And this we call mixed blood. It is not mixed blood. It is a continuing of a original state, of a chaotic state. And the embryo, until to the birth, or to spoken more exactly, until the first breathing, not the birth is decisive, the first breathing, you have this, that this continues this state of chaotic. And that is a condition that as long as possible you have this as to be full of possibilities. And so this newborn is still full of possibilities. And then comes the differentiation with the first breathing.
Is one organ that gets more oxygen before birth than it does after birth? That's the liver. Because before birth, the liver gets most of its oxygen through the umbilical vessel. Afterwards, it gets most of its oxygen through the portal vein.
Yeah.
And this is one reason why the children also get jaundice, because the liver is not very mature. It has to adjust to getting mostly, but that also fits in very much, because with the function of the liver.
Yeah, you see, but the liver primarily is the organ of a plant.
Yeah,
that is how it works. And you see how dangerous the oxygen is just for life. You can see it, but all that is just, as I did quote it very often, the basic knowledge is lacking today, not the details. See, we know. And when we would have known this, this could have been prevented, that a newborn is exposed to pure oxygen. It must make a damage. It's absolutely clear. It must be protected to this, because the oxygen makes oxidation, that means a breaking down of a substance. And now you see how that happens. The first breathing change this thing. You have the so-called mixed blood, which